He's he was the mayor. I was number three or whatever on the jury.
Well, have you start by just saying your names, and then you can just answer this question and kind of see where it takes you.
Sure.
Go ahead, Doug. Say your name.
My name is Doug Sutherland. I was elected to the Tacoma City Council in 1979, and I served 2 years as a council member, and in 1981 was elected mayor of the city of Tacoma. And as such, I served in that capacity until December 31st, 1989.
I'm Jackie Scott, and I was a member of the Tacoma-Durham Jury of Recommendation that the City Council appointed 7 people to help build the Tacoma Dome. And I was the citizen representative and the only woman.
Yeah, and everybody else is gone.
Yes, yeah. We got two besides me. Fred Pritchard's.
Oh, alive. Really?
Yeah, he's in North Carolina.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And then me, and then Doug.
Wow.
Doug's going to be filming next week for the big film.
Oh, I heard about it.
The documentary. Yeah.
What does Tacoma mean to you?
Tacoma, I lived overseas in a third world country after college and early in my marriage. And we lived through a coup, a lot of ugly stuff. There was no city hall you could go to, and if there was, it was locked. There was no government engagement, which bothered me. So on the airplane on the way home, as we got to SeaTac, I said, when I get off this plane, I'm going to get involved in my government. And I went to the League of Women Voters and joined and told them why I was there. And they made me the city government chair, which meant I monitored the council and I worked with the council on things. And I was very fortunate at the time. We had a rational council, and they were actually fun. And I started to get engaged, and then the dome bond issue had already passed, but the getting it going was there. And to this day, I don't know how I got on the jury. I mean, other than somebody put my name there, but...
Well, you were kind of obnoxious about it.
Yeah. And
pretty people, insistent about it, and...
I thought it was a big thing, and it was, and...
It was the biggest thing to the city of Tacoma since World War II. In the 1940s. So here we were 40 years later looking at doing a major, major development. A lot of the citizens of the city of Tacoma saw what was happening in Seattle and coined the phrase, we really should have a dome of our own and be able to bring people to the city of Tacoma and see us as we really are, not as what they think we are. And as such, the idea was brought to the people, and it was resoundingly voted in favor to tax and to be able to build a facility that they refer to as a dome of our own.
Yeah, 70%. It had failed in the county miserably.
Yeah.
I don't even remember if they got 30%. And it was, I will say, because since then I've watched a lot of Tacoma City Councils, and the council at that particular time was a good mix of people and ideologies and what's good government. And they were braver than some might have been. But I don't think we thought it was a risk, but it would be if it failed. So the assumption was it won't fail. And it, you know, we
and
went
it didn't.
From there.
And so then the next question after that was, okay, if we're going to build something like that, where are we going to build it? And that started a whole different look at ourselves about, okay, where do we think, and what can we do that would make it so that it would provide what we think it should provide? And there were a lot of ideas about where it should go. Should it go somewhere downtown? Because the core area of the city of Tacoma was in a disastrous state of affairs. And or should we put it out in the south end where there's room, out by the Tacoma Mall?
Yeah.
Or where all of the shopping is, where the people. Well, then that really changes the identification of the city. And finally, we started to look at this older neighborhood of really blue-collar Tacoma. And the Hawthorne District had a long, deep history with the city. But yet, as we looked at the relationship with the freeway, which had just been built, the relationship with the views of the city itself, you could see the port of Tacoma, and it could fit in a geographical center, but close to downtown, but not too far away. So it would provide this new destination place. So after a lot of conversations on the council, I brought a resolution that said we will build it at the Hawthorne neighborhood, and we will work with the neighborhood to be able to provide folks with alternative places so that they can find another place to live. We will acquire the properties at a fair market price. There's not going to be anybody that comes out of it without having a fair response to what they considered their value. And for those folks that were renting, and there were a lot of those, we helped resettle them in other rental properties. So it was a major, major effort. And even at that, there were a lot of folks that were deeply connected to the Hawthorne District. So it took us quite a while to be able to do the acquisitions. There, there was one gentleman who was absolutely adamant that he was not going to sell his property at any price.
That's it.
Absolutely. And so we had this conversation, and I said, well, there's a way to help him think about it a little differently. Take your big equipment and park it all around the edge of his property. And so when he got up in the morning, there was nothing but huge bulldozers and big pieces of equipment that no way. So he finally got the message, and we acquired the last property that allowed us to move ahead.
Did we move a couple houses, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
we moved a lot.
Relocated the house.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, there's a couple of photos over there of one going over a bridge. Yeah, because we, we were working with the neighborhood as however they wished to be able to make it happen. So now we had this big dirt spot.
42.
And okay, what are we going to build? And what are we going to build it out of? What's it going to really look like? There's when Hal Nielsen was a deputy mayor, and Hal was probably instrumental in helping us because he was probably the closest connected to the community. And it really, really worked to be able to bring folks together. Then, what are we going to build and how big is it going to be? We had an original budget of $24 million, which is why the 1% for the arts was $240,000. Ultimately, we spent $44 million putting it together. And each time we came to realization that everything was going to cost more, we also looked at a variety of contractors and contractors' ideas about what we should build. And obviously the Weyerhaeuser Company was a major employer, a major influence in this city. And the idea to build it out of Weyerhaeuser wood became a part of the idea, and the negotiation started. And Jimmy, the contractor.
Zarelli.
Yeah. Jimmy Zarelli.
Merritt Construction.
Yeah, Merritt Construction. And they got together and we negotiated, and they came up with the design to build it all out of wood. And we agreed. We thought that was great. And so we started.
Yeah, so the groundbreaking was the first event at the Dome. And it was, there's pictures all in that book and other places. But it was the beginning of the citizens of Tacoma realizing, one, this thing was going to happen, and two, it was theirs, you know, because we didn't have a guest list for the groundbreaking. You got to have the electeds and whatever, but with the stadium, Jason Lee Junior High at that time, band played, there were some other, you know, local people did things. And that was the pattern. And at the grand opening on the other end, we had the stadium band, and then we had, again, stuff that from beginning mentally, I think our collective thinking was, this is the people's dome. I mean, we're part of the people, so, you know, it's our dome too. But we emphasized that in how we plan some of what they could do in the building and also some of what they did in the process of building the building. And it was built on time.
It was.
And on right. budget as
adjusted.
Yeah, yeah. And it's got, and it, you know, and it got paid for.
Yep.
And
exactly.
Now,
and it was. And the grand opening was really, really grand. What was interesting is that, and here was one of the celebrations that I thought was really something. In the history of the United States, major public buildings always had the Masonic order put the cornerstone in place. My father was a Mason, the head of the Masonic Order came to my office and said, it is our history to lay the cornerstone. And I said, I know and I acknowledge that, and I'm delighted that you came to ask me, but there are two conditions. Number one, that my father helps lay the cornerstone. And number two, that the Prince Hall Masons also be included. Now, for those who may not be aware, the Masonic Order was basically white. The Prince Hall Masons was basically black. And rarely did they do anything together. I felt it was an absolute incredible opportunity to bring our community together. So not only did we have the Masonic Order and the Prince Hall Masons, but we also had the Knights of Columbus, and all of the other organizations that were here in the city of Tacoma come together to lay the cornerstone. And wow, they all came, they marched down together and put the stone in place. And it was a huge, huge celebration. And so that was probably the second real inclusion of the people of Tacoma coming together to be able to celebrate this facility. Then grand opening.
Well, and the signing of the beam.
Oh my God, yes. Oh yeah. My name's up there.
Yeah, mine is too. And a whole lot of
and
people.
About 45,000 other
Yeah, 45,000 people came to sign their name up there. All right, is that enough of us?
Well, I want to hear what it feels like 40 years later. What is walking in here, kind of having all this back history with this building?
You know, I stayed somewhat involved for several years after, as you know, just because I cared. But then I haven't been in, well, in the last year I've been in here more than I've been in 15 or 20 years. I still love it, and I am still very proud that our city did this and that it has served the city and its people well. And I had an opportunity to, you know, travel to other cities and on when I, because I then worked for the city for a while. There's Doug. And people asked me, where are you from? Oh, the city with a dome. And that, one of my little goals in my little head was that it would be distinctive and something we can be proud is distinctive of our city.
Yep.
I mean, some cities get some pretty ugly stuff they're stuck with. Oh, there's Dick Cipher. All right, Doug, you.
Well, I have, I've been living in Arizona now for almost 13 years. And so it's been a long time since I've been back to look at the dome. And I see a lot of changes. I see some really good changes. And I'm happy that the city and the management of this facility is keeping it up to grade so that it continues to be used in such a way that the community still significantly benefits from its presence here. And I would imagine another 40 and another update or two in the next 40.
Yeah, there's, they've of course already are planning for some updates.
I suppose so. You can always update it, always improve it. And it looks to me like that's exactly what they've been doing. So,
well, like the lighting, the technology for lighting is so, you know, after 40 years, it had to be some better. And so it is.
So the only thing that I see that's missing is the restaurant that used to be up.
Yeah. That, the restaurant was a good idea.
At the time,
but it always struggled because the access to it
was difficult.
Was difficult, and managing it, it just was something just didn't click, and I was sad. I wish there was one, because that would be a lot. You know, I want to bring people in to see the dome.
Yep.
But you gotta, you know, they'll let you do that. Well, and I probably, or Doug would have privilege. If we knocked on the door, they'd let us in. But I want, you know, just to bring my friends from somewhere else to dinner here to see it.
And, yep.
But I'm proud still, very proud.
I also like I also like Antonakis's pieces. It's interesting. It's really interesting that after all of the hoopla, both for and against, and particularly the adamant stance of the few people that really didn't think that it would fit, every viewing, photographs, TV programs, programs that were going on here in the Tacoma Dome, it was always with the Antonakis in the background. It was never anywhere else. It was always in the background.
Yeah.
So it became an integral part of how this worked. And at first, I have to say that I was not too sure it was going to fit.
A little skeptical?
Skeptical, perhaps. Yeah.
Well, I loved neon art before, and so, but I think Doug's point is so right. Now, we know that some of the big stars, it was turned off. It gets turned off. That's their part of the deal.
Yep.
But, like, things like this.
Oh, yeah.
It just, I don't know. It just makes me smile.
Well, what was fun was that here we are in this facility, jam-packed full of people watching indoor soccer.
Mm-hmm.
When indoor soccer was part of the local venues. And the people were going nuts, and there's the Antonakis pieces behind.
Yeah.
I mean, juxtaposition was just a very interesting. So. Fun.
Yeah, can I get your picture?
Oh, sure.
Let me pause this.